Hi everyone, welcome to Empower, my power, your power, our power. Today I have with me an award-winning author, celebrated columnist and a renowned blogger, Kiran Munral. Welcome, Kiran.
Thank you, Nakshi.
So having associations with top-tier publications such as The Times of India, The Asian Age and Cosmopolitan, she's paved her successful career path ever since, from journalism to blogging and novelist, right from winning accolades along the way such as the International Women's Day Award 2018 for excellence in the field of writing, from the Indian Council for UN Relations, to her work being acknowledged worldwide. Kiran's definitely has had quite the journey. So let's do some digging into the author's inner expressions and find out how her path has unfolded over the years. So Kiran, welcome once again. Thank you so much for taking time out and being here. It's such a privilege, honestly.
It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me.
No, of course. It's our pleasure. And you know, you've published 13 books. Fantastic. That's my birth date, so I love the number. So with such an illustrious journey, could you give us an overview of the different spheres in your life as a blogger, a journalist, a novelist, even as a parent? Why not?
So very honestly, Meenakshi, I think my second leg, so to speak, my second wind came about after I had my son.
Okay.
I was a journalist before that, yes, but I quit it all when I had my son. I was a stay-at-home mom.
Mm-hmm.
I had itchy fingers. I started blogging. That's how blogging happened. I think I was one of the earliest amongst the mommy bloggers.
Right.
A consistently top blogger of India and all that stuff before, you know, blogging became exploded into what it is today, and you know it.
Yes, of course.
An influencer that you are today. From blogging, I think I built my audience, and a couple of friends prodded me, you must write a book, you must write a book. And I was hitting 40 then. And I said, okay. It's
wow.
High time I did the book that I always thought I had in me.
Yes.
I wrote it, I sent it out. I was lucky, very lucky. An editor loved it and she took it on.
Mm-hmm.
It was a dream debut. Amazon Westland signed it on. And Dipti Talwar was the editor. I didn't have any struggle for the first book.
Yes.
And as they say in the colloquial, the sher ne khoon chak liya.
Of course.
I didn't stop writing after
that. Tasted blood now. So then, yeah. So what was your first book called?
It was called The Reluctant Detective.
Mm-hmm.
It was about a housewife, a suburban housewife in a gated community who has some dead bodies turn up in her area.
Oh.
And sets about investigating them.
Okay.
10 years later, I come out with The Kitty Party Murder with the same characters.
Oh, lovely. Yes, I'm dying to read it. This is your latest, right? The Kitty Party Murder.
Actually, this one is the latest.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes.
No worries.
This is the one that you said I must read. And this is, well, the gifts that you've got me. More Things in Heaven and Earth. So, dying to read that. So, congratulations on this.
Thank you.
And tell me now, you published your first novel, like you said, at the age of 40. The Reluctant Detective. And tell us your experience of how you reached the path from journalism to novelist and what inspired you along the way. I know you said it happened, you know, itchy fingers and all. But what was it that triggered you? What was it that inspired you along the way?
Shall I be very honest, Meenakshi?
Always.
It is a persistent mom.
Okay.
So back in my childhood, in some mistaken phase, I must have told my mom, Mom, I'm going to write a book.
Okay.
Mom never forgot it.
Right.
Every birthday she would tell me, Kiran, when are you writing your book? And I'm like, I'm very busy, I'm very important, I'm at the Times of India, I'm at Cosmopolitan, I don't have time to write a book. Then it was, I'm very busy, I have a new baby,
yes.
I can't be bothered to write a book. Every single birthday, it would be, okay, now you're 35, where's your
yes.
book? Now you're 38, where's your book? And when it became, now you're going to be 40, where's that damn book?
I love her. I need someone like her to push me in my life.
So
to do more, excuse
like
me.
Vikram and Vetal, mommy sitting on my back. Every few years yelling at me about the book. So I said, I must write the book and, you know.
Yes.
Mama, I've done my book now. Enough.
Yes.
So mom was the inspiration.
Okay.
Mom was the pin in the butt, so to speak, the prodding that I needed, and also a couple of friends,
right.
A very dear friend, Priyanka Chaturvedi, she is a Rajya Sabha member now. Back then, we were both school gate moms. and Parul Sharma, who was already a published author.
Okay.
So they were like, show me your word count every week.
Okay.
They got me to write.
Right.
So, three of them.
Okay, lovely. So, as a writer, you've explored several genres, such as non-fiction, humor, parenting, horror, and romance. Which do you enjoy and resonate with the most? Besides being a parent, now we've said that already. So
the parenting, you know, Meenakshi was a very unconventional blog because I was, if you read my book Karmic Kids, it comes from the blog. It's like, I talk about seeing my son for the first time and feeling utterly like, what is this thing? Why do I have to care for it? So it's, I think I found my voice through blogging, and while writing, what I write reflects what I read. So mm-hmm. I love P.G. Woodhouse, mm-hmm. but I also love Stephen King.
Mm-hmm.
I love Jane Austen, and I also love Murakami.
Mm-hmm.
So all these influences come together, and I think...
they're inspiring, you know.
Yeah. And I admire authors who can stick to a particular genre and say, I'm only going to write mythological fiction.
Yeah.
I'm only going to write thrillers. I'm only going to write romances. I admire that. For me, I think I have a very low boredom threshold for myself.
No, it's not that. I think you just have a passion for the word, you know, so the written word. And then when you read so much and you have so much knowledge and you're connecting with different things at different times, you're kind of producing whatever triggers, you know, your writing skills within you. Don't you think?
I think you make me sound better than I am.
No, absolutely. You're too humble. You're too humble. Trust me. I mean, I'm like so enamored by the fact that someone can produce such great work, you know, and so soon, you know, last few years you've produced incredible work. And despite having a background, you know, like you said, with a newspaper, with the best newspaper publications, with magazines, with blogging. So, I mean, you've really done it all. So, you know, more power to you. Exactly what we love at Empower.
Thank you.
Okay. So your novel, Saving Maya, okay, was longlisted for the 2018 Saboteur Awards, supported by the Arts Council of England in the UK. The Face at the Window and Missing, Presumed Dead, were both longlisted for Geomami Word to screen. And The Face at the Window was also shortlisted for the South Asian Film Festival 2019. I'm sorry, I have to read all this. There's so many accomplishments. Yeah. The Kitty Party Murder was shortlisted for the Popular Choice Award at the 2021 JK Papers Times of India Author Awards. Can you give us a short one-liner describing each of these stories for all our lovely audiences, you know, who haven't read, who will now love to pick up all your books, including me, because I haven't read them all, but I admit it, but I am so fascinated. So please, maybe one line, if possible, on each of them.
Sure. They're... Pick and choose your genre. So Saving Maya is a second chance romance.
Okay.
It's funny, it's witty, it's chiclety. The Kitty Party Murder is pure humor. It's pure... It's a school gate mom getting involved in stuff she shouldn't get. And making a total ass of herself. The little intense ones are Missing, Presumed Dead. It's about a woman with mental health issues and a bad marriage. What happens to her? She goes missing.
Okay.
So that's the story. The Face of the Window is spooky.
Mm-hmm.
It's a book about an Anglo-Indian. This is more than one line.
No, it's okay. It's one line on each. So don't worry. Yeah.
So it's... she's alone. She's waiting to die. And she's in a cottage in the Himalayas when one night something knocks at her window.
Okay.
So it's a little spooky.
Yeah. And more to follow.
Yeah. It's very intense.
Okay.
So these are all very different voices.
Okay. Fascinating, honestly. So tell me, you've explored feminism through most of your writings at shethepeople.tv and have previously been a columnist blogger on gender issues with Tehelka, another channel. We at Empower would love a quick preview of your perceptions about these two topics.
Meenakshi, very honestly, I think we write a lot, we talk a lot about all the issues that are happening with women in our country. But when you look at the ground level, when you look on Twitter, there are still videos coming out about women being beaten up for daring to love, for daring to talk on mobile phones, for daring to wear jeans. There is so much that we don't know that we're sitting in the cities. There are children, that girl child in the small towns who are being compelled to drop out of education because there's no connectivity or there's only one mobile phone. Where does it stop? How much can we do? We can only talk about these things, but at the ground level, I think we have a lot to do.
Yeah, absolutely. I teach at an NGO, Angel Express Foundation. They have various centers. Since 5 years, I've been there. And I have seen the disparity in so many families also, where the brother, sister come, but as they get older, the boy is given preference, or the way they are treated at home, you know.
Mm.
And in some communities, you know, there's such open partiality that, oh no, now the girl is getting older, so that she doesn't need to study. She needs to do housework, or she's going to go get married, even in a city like Mumbai.
Okay.
So forget small towns. So, you know, we try and help and we try and give them free education. Even we tell them, okay, school, you don't want to send them to school, at least send them to us for an hour, you know, thrice a week. At least let us teach the children so they're independent, even the girls, you know. So I completely understand where you're coming from. Even from, forget being abused or beaten or whatever they go through, but even education, which
yes.
is, you know, we really try in India to spread the word as much as possible, is so important. And even the big cities need more awareness, more help, more talking about it, like you said. At least that we can do that, you know, at the ground level. So, yeah, so I completely agree with you.
I just want to add one
yes.
thing, Meenakshi, if you'd allow me. I think a lot of women are not financially literate.
Absolutely.
In all across sections of society,
mm.
we're only too happy to let the men handle,
Absolutely.
Take care of the finances. And that is one way we lose our own empowerment.
Mm-hmm. True.
That's something that I think we should start talking to our girls about
yes.
from the time
they're
young.
Not only literate, but independent too. Like even when you come from affluent families, I have seen so many, like I said, even in Mumbai, where first the father's taken care of everything because everything is served on a silver platter, and then the husband takes care of everything. And there is no need in 90% of the women, no desire even to do more because they are so comfortable. And I sometimes wonder, is it the men who enjoy this, you know, the power and hold over the women that actually makes them so dependent and relaxed? Whereas, or on the other hand, is it the laziness that sets in because everything is given so easily? So that's always a ongoing debate in my mind too, when I see even women who are so smart, so confident, but where it comes to finances, everything is, you know, ask the husband, ask the office, you know, ask the dad, and everything just comes easy. But if, God forbid, ever you're in a situation where they are not there to support you, what, how literate, how capable and how independent are you, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's a very good point. You know, we must educate our daughters, our girls, everyone, you know, to at least basic
management,
financial,
money.
Absolutely, management. So tell me, as the founder of India Helps, a network of volunteers who assist disaster victims, tell us how you came about that.
So it would be unfair to say that I was a sole founder. There's a group of us
okay, sorry.
As a founding
yeah.
committee. And it came about after 2611
mm-hmm.
when we saw all that happened, and we knew that while the victims who were at the Taj and the Oberoi came from a certain section of society and they were probably better off, there were other victims from CST, from Kama Hospital, from Leopold
mm-hmm.
who needed help. So we just put out a tweet one day saying that, you know, we'd be at the Juhu Starbucks
mm-hmm.
at PVR. And anyone who wants to help, just turn up. 40 people turned up.
Okay.
And it started from there, taking the lists of the injured and dead, visiting, making home visits, seeing what they needed. Everything from managing funds for funerals, to filling out forms, to helping them get the reimbursement, to getting jobs, to getting alternate homes. There was a lot of work that was done. And I must say that the Tata Trust helped a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we wouldn't have been able to do anything without them. Of course, there were people who donated individually.
Yes.
And there
and
was
volunteers.
Volunteers who did the hand holding and the actual things, from actually teaching a newly widowed woman to travel in a train to go to her job, accompanying her every day back and forth.
Right.
That was the kind of work that our volunteers did.
Okay, lovely.
So there was a lot of work done. We wound it up after everyone. We closed most of our cases, all our cases.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully everybody's in a good place now, better place than they were back
I'm
then.
Sure they are. And such good karma for all of you, everyone who helped and all of you. No, it's really nice. There are a lot of people who find it easy to donate things, but to actually go and help out and make sure there is, you know, make sure that there is some, you know, fruitful completion to the process. Like you said, teaching someone something, you know, enabling them to do something, set up after such a tragedy, you know, is really nice. It's empowering for you and them, you know, the give and take. So well done, you. And we need more people like her, you know, good, educated people who are all heart, honestly. So tell me, as a member also on the planning board of the Kumaon Literary Festival, chair of the Women Unlimited series of the Taj Colloquium, a mentor with Shiro's Queen and Back to the Front, and an advisor on the board of Literature Studio, Delhi, what do you feel is the scenario of the budding writers? Any advice you would like to give to all the budding authors out there?
This is a question that's been haunting me, because who am I to give advice, Meenakshi?
No, please, look at you. You underestimate the kind of experiences you've had and the work you've done.
All I say is, if there are stories in you, they will come out. But before the stories come out, everyone has a story. But not all stories deserve to be written down.
Yeah. Or not all stories do end up being written. You know, you can't put it on paper sometimes, even though you want to.
Absolutely. So for budding authors, if you have a story in you, if you have the desire to work with words, it will come out. But before that, very importantly, give yourself the tools of the trade. Malcolm Gladwell says put in 10,000 hours. I would say put in 20,000 hours. And 20,000 hours may not be writing, it is reading.
Right.
So read. I know of very famous authors who very proudly say, I don't read because I don't want it to influence my style. Where do you get your tools of the trade from?
Absolutely.
So read 10,000 times more than you write. For every page that you write, read 10,000 pages.
Wow. So yeah. Read, give it read, your
read,
all.
read, and write every day. Do okay. Your riyas.
Okay, yeah.
You won't tell an athlete not to practice every day. You won't tell a musician not to practice every day. So why is it different for a writer? You have to practice. You have to work with your tools every single day.
Nothing comes easy. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, Meenakshi, you say you've written 13 books in 10 years.
Yeah.
But it's been 30 years of writing as a journalist.
True.
And blogging every day. So that has been my riyaz.
Absolutely. It prepared you for this. Yeah. You know, honestly, the practice, the exposure. Like I said, you underestimate what you can say to people who will find you so inspiring. No, honestly. So well accomplished. And, you know, there are people out there. We have so many young listeners who want to do things. That's why I love interviewing empowered individuals, men or women on Empower, who have achieved in life. And every single person has said this: nothing comes easy. Indirectly, in different words, hard work and determination, focus, you know, passion. These are the key words, I guess, you know, for anything, you know.
It's the duck swimming,
the
swan. You just see them gliding across, but beneath the water, the legs are paddling like mad.
Exactly.
And we don't want to show you the legs paddling like mad. We just want you to believe that elves write the books or elves do the hard work.
That's a nice one. So tell me, any upcoming book launches that we should be looking out for? What's next in your list of personal pursuits?
You know, COVID has hit all of us rather hard.
Of course.
And as a creative person, I think I was hit pretty hard, because where do you get the inspiration from being locked up at home all the time?
Yes.
So there are books written, Meenakshi. I don't know what will happen of them, because right now they are going out to the editors and they're taking a look. But they're very different kind of books. They're very surreal books that I'm coming up with. I think one has been confronted by mortality.
Okay.
During COVID, and it has made one question what one stands for.
Mm-hmm.
So it's showing in the writing. Let's see what comes of it.
I'm dying to read it, because we've all had so much introspection and so much, like you said, questioning mortality, questioning everything that you were or looked at. Every, you know, the whole lens has changed, you know.
Absolutely.
The whole perspective on life and everything that mattered. So I'm quite fascinated with this topic. So anything else that you're working on, that you're passionate about, anything new you took on because of the last 1.5 year of the pandemic?
I don't think there was anything new. I think except for a self-realization that I need to pare down. Work-wise, I was doing my same thing, writing. But I think in life, one was forced to cut down, to taper down, to sort of focus on what is important. So I did a lot of paring down. I think all of us did. And the realization that this is important to me, I need to focus on my writing. I need to stop scattering myself in 10 different directions. So that's what's happened to me.
Yeah.
So that's been a learning for the pandemic.
Okay. So anything you would like to share before we let you go? I just don't feel like I have asked you enough. Like, I want to know more and more, and I'm sure so do our listeners. Any famous last words, any experiences, anything that you would like to share with our audiences? Not only as an author, sorry to interrupt, I'm just, my mind is working overtime, but also as a parent, as a woman, anything that you feel from your heart.
I think I'd like to, I mean, since you have so graciously given me this platform, it's something I like to tell all women. Please be selfish. We go through our lives putting everyone else first, mm-hmm. and putting ourselves last. You put your husband first, you put your child first, you put your family first, you try to be the perfect wife, daughter, daughter-in-law, and you can never be perfect. Mm-hmm. And who suffers at the end of it all? You.
Yeah, absolutely.
So be selfish. I think I found myself when I started being selfish. And the past decade, my 40s has been the best ever.
Mm-hmm.
I've hit my 50s now.
Mm-hmm.
I hope they'll be better.
Yeah, I'm sure they will. To bigger and better things. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. And that brings us to the end of a wonderful chat with such an empowering and acclaimed figure. Thank you, Kiran, for being here, for taking out time, and for giving us an in-depth glance into your inspiring journey. I'm truly grateful, honestly. And thank you, my lovely listeners, for tuning in. Don't forget to catch up on all this and more podcast-related content and some additional fun sessions, from engaging videos to delightful pictures. All of it specially curated for you on my Instagram and Facebook, Meenakshi Kuwadikar. And feel free to email me anytime on empowerbymeenakshi@gmail.com. And until then, as always, keep shining, keep smiling, have a safe and fantastic week, everyone, and don't forget to own it.